The unknown cannot be known. What is known is not the unknown. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you, St. John 13:15. When we rebel against effects, we only increase their intensity without gaining any understanding or relief. It is only by understanding the effect do you get relief, because there is no relief in any way by resisting or trying to overcome an effect. There is no way of overcoming an effect except through understanding it. If we overcome an effect, or we overcome anything, we have got to overcome it again and again. And unless we begin to understand the cause of the effect, it will still be troubling us. Therefore, we see it is necessary to see deeply within ourselves the cause of every effect. Now, the most destructive conditioning today is brought about through the battle between individuals one way or another, because of the fact that the individual is the race. It is the individuals that make up the world, and if the individuals do not see that they are battling against one another, then how do they expect to have peace? Peace cannot come till such time as the individual begins to understand himself. And when he begins to understand himself, he will see the cause of his battling is an illusion, a desire. Therefore, he does not know himself. And beginning to know himself, he will drop all these things, and then that which is real will take its place. Some people do not understand that reality itself is always ever-present. It is ever-present, and it is love and affection. Without understanding oneself, then, and the causes of the effects which we see everywhere, we will never know this love and affection, because it only comes into being when we understand ourselves. And when we see ourselves, all these conditions and the conditioning we create upon ourselves will dissolve away. It is necessary then to begin to understand oneself and the ways of the self. Then that which is real, which is giving rise to the real reality within every person, in man, and everywhere, it is never in opposition to itself in any individual. It's never antagonistic to itself in any individual. Therefore, when we see what causes the antagonism between one and another, they will pass away and dissolve into nothingness where it belongs, and then that which is. Love and affection will take its place. But how few people see this? They're always trying to tell you what God is. They're trying to philosophize what God is. And if you do not know what he is, anyway, they'll ram it down your throat that he is this and that. It's like two monocles, and they said to one each other, let's get together and make spectacles of ourselves. You see, is that not so with individuals? It's just the same. In every nation, in every group, there is a conception of reality which they call God. But is this not just an intellectual approach to reality? Most people are discussing reality so as to find out what reality is. Hence, we have so many different philosophies, so many different religions, each one trying to find out what God is, or telling you what he is. But the known can never be the unknown. And what is known is not the unknown. So if you say that you know this, you know God, therefore you will know perfectly well that you do not know God. Because he is the unknown, and it's the unknown that is creative. It's the unknown alone that is love and wisdom, and love and affection. But the known is not there. The known is an image, an idea you create in the mind. And whatever you create in your mind, you know what it is, but you do not know what the unknown is. So therefore, if you see clearly that what you make up in your mind about the unknown, it is not the unknown. The mind cannot comprehend reality, but we can translate reality into our daily living by understanding that the only way we can approach reality is by affection and love. Then we find ourselves giving expression to reality itself. Thus we translate reality into our everyday life. And it is the translating of reality into our everyday life when we are no longer antagonistic to each other, because reality is never antagonistic to itself in any individual. And besides, we see clearly that by love and affection only can we translate reality. And if there is no love and no affection between individuals, there is no translation of reality into your daily living. Most people are trying to corner a bit of reality for their health and success. If they succeed, they say they are expressing reality. They are manifest. See what God has done. But when they find that it does not work, they are frustrated. This is not expressing reality. It's mere suggestion, in opposition to another suggestion or idea that is held hidden in the mind. And according to the dominant idea, so will it manifest. And what is the dominant idea then? The dominant idea is want, is it not? Therefore, if when they try to express something or the corner of it reality for their success, and when they say they have succeeded, they will say, look now, I can prove God. But how stupid that is when you see clearly there is but an idea in the mind. When you know that reality is now, then it doesn't have to be, you don't have to prove God. But if you take away from your mind all your formulations about God, your beliefs, your ideas about Him, then there is God. There is reality giving expression to itself in love and wisdom. And when you see this, that reality is everything, it is not broken up in pieces, that life is not divided because it is expressing itself in you and me. It's the totality of all life. Therefore, there is no division in life. Life itself is one whole and complete that is not divided. It is man that divides life in his mind by seeing his neighbor separate to himself. And when he does so, this separation causes strife and misery. The whole world today is suffering from separation. A belief, an idea, is separation. We must realize that there is only one way to express reality, and that is through love and affection. Then there is no frustration, no opposition, for reality can only express itself through love and affection. But this affection does not mean that you merely love God with the idea that you can get what you want, and by loving God that you can get what you want. It means that you must love your neighbor, because reality cannot express itself except through loving your neighbor. By doing so, then you have everything. And how can you love God anyhow? A myth? Something that is nowhere, the unknown. Jesus said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And in that way, that is your neighbor. And unless you can love your neighbor, then you are not loving God at all. Because through your neighbor, you do love God. And if people had seen the great truth, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And if they loved the Father, they would have loved him. And if you love God, you shall love me. But because you do not know my Father, you do not love me. And because you do not love me, you do not know my Father. Is that not plain enough? Is it not a fact today that people are seeking to love God and but hate their enemies? They pray to God for peace, but they are preparing for war. They want success and happiness at the expense of their neighbor, but they are really cheating themselves. If you look into your own mind, you will see that this is but a subtle form of suggestion, which is deeply rooted in your conditioning. So your inward poverty makes you look to the external. While you merely discuss reality, you are not translating reality into your daily living. You are merely projecting the self. And it is the projecting of the self that's causing all the trouble. Psychology and the psychologists, many of them, who are still stupid enough to say that by projecting the self, you're going to obtain happiness, you'll obtain this and obtain that. And they tell you that this is God. Do you not see that it's a mere projection of the self? That you're going away from reality? When you know clearly and discern clearly your own thoughts, your emotions, your ideas, your images, your wants, your cravings, your antagonism, your hates, your condemnations, and all these sort of things, you will see they're all made up in your mind. So the psychologists of today are just taking you away from reality and not giving you reality. Reality is now, ever present, now at this moment. What is preventing this reality from expressing itself in its true nature? Its true nature is love and wisdom. Then what is it that is preventing it from expressing itself in you? Is it not your own images and ideas and your beliefs, your antagonisms, your hates, your divisions? Unless you see them and discern them clearly, there can be no expression of that which is real. If you look into your minds, you will see how you have been discussing reality as an idea. So the idea in your mind becomes to you the truth, when it is only an idea of the truth and is not the truth. In most truth literature, the great mistake ignorantly made is that the mind is directed to create an idea of reality. If I say to you, God is love, God is wisdom, God is truth, what good is it to you if you're still living in your separation, if you're still living in antagonisms, if your mind is filled with separation, if you're still condemning, if you're still hating? Do you not see that it becomes an idea only which you take into the prison in which you are in, that self-created prison? But it's when you break down those prison walls and free yourselves by discerning what is hindering the expression of reality that is ever present, then there is freedom and true freedom. Reality is life, and mind cannot conceive what it is. Therefore, it is useless trying to make an idea of life. But when we see that our idea is but an imitation, a mental conception, it dies away and life becomes a reality to us, not as an idea or a mental formulation, but an actual livingness. Alive and living. It is not an idea, it's a livingness.
It is that livingness that is yourself.
Well, giving expression to that which is the real self,
the real self that is in every other self,
not the projection of the self that is a bundle of hates and enmities and ideas and wants.
That self is an illusion of the reality.
The real self is in every other self,
and it is that self
that is given expression to. Therefore you will see, as Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself becomes a reality before you can love God. I am showing you this, cleansing the mind of all that is preventing the expression of this livingness, this true livingness, in which we are all equal, in which the whole of livingness is expressing itself through each and every one of us, in which there is no division, in which life has not divided itself in any way whatsoever, because there can be no division. The division only is created in your mind through an idea, through an image, through a belief. Because you have a separate belief, you are antagonistic to one another. Is that truth? Don't you see that it's about a belief, an idea, a formulation of the mind, that it is not reality? Every night I am showing you, and it's getting clearer and clearer each night. There is a cleansing of the mind. There is a greater understanding of the self. There is a knowing that the unknown is not the known, but the unknown comes into operation when the individual begins to discern all that is preventing the unknown, that which is creative, manifesting in your life. It is that itself that is living. And if you give true expression to that livingness, which is whole and complete in itself, then you will see that the truth is what the Master said, what is mine is thine. So it is not an idea or a mental formulation, but an actual livingness, giving expression to itself in love and affection. As long as we have only a mental image of reality, we will never give expression to reality in loving our neighbor as ourselves. Our separate beliefs, which create the division, which create the antagonisms, and then when we become antagonistic to one another, then there is difficulty, there is strife. So the most destructive conditioning today is brought about through the battle between individuals in one way or another. We must realize that we do not live by ourselves. It is reality that lives. Therefore, it is the foundation of our being. When we have found the source within, we no longer look outside ourselves, neither do we build an intellectual conception on the authority of another. Neither will we try to corner reality to gain health and success, for we will know that reality is all, thus the inner will become the outer. The livingness which is eternal and ever-present will be the livingness expressing itself in you and me. Therefore my being and your being is the same being, because there is only one being. And in that understanding, we will know. There will be no antagonism. And when the mind has cleansed itself of everything that is hindering the expression of this, we will know love and wisdom. We will be love and wisdom itself. We'll be in a state of love, not merely in love, but in a state. Being in love and being in a state of love is different altogether. Being in love, you can still have all the enmities and difficulties and divisions in the world. You can have antagonisms and so forth and all these things. You can still be in love. But you are not in a state of love. when you have antagonisms between one and another, where you have divisions between one and another, in a state of love, it's a state of love which is love itself, giving expression to itself in its wholeness and completeness. That was the Master. The Master was clear in that statement. Love your neighbor as yourself. I see this clearly. And to see, to know, on the realization that the infinite is one. Therefore, to love our neighbor is loving God, because there is but one. If you love one and hate another, you cannot say you are a loving person. If you are kind to one person and unkind to another, you are not a kind person. Therefore, if you love one person and hate another, you are in love, but you are not in a state of love. A state of love comes only when you have discerned all that is hindering the expression of that which is itself, eternal and ever-present. Every person in this world leaves everything they have of this world behind. As they were born into this world as a little babe, so they are born into the next world in the same way. It is then the wisdom and the love that you carry with you that is of any benefit. That's why Jesus said clearly that to gain the whole world and lose your own soul is of no value to any person. So kings and queens and princes and all the rest of it, we're all leveled down by that one stroke of death, which is but life. But no one knows that life and death are in the same cup. But if you live moment to moment, you will know it, because the moment that is past is dead. But that very moment that you are is alive and living. And that is the continuation, the renewal of life, eternally and ever-present. Therefore, you are born into the next world with nothing, as you are born into this one, because no one holds anything, and nothing belongs to anybody. Everything belongs to God. Therefore, God is everything. The Creator and His creation are one. And when you realize that the Creator and His creation are one, you will know that the only reality and the only peace and the joy that can come into a soul is that which in itself is real, in the reality and the expression of reality, in its true nature of love and affection, gives one peace and happiness. Love is the joy in the heart of everyone. And unless you can understand this great, wonderful state of love, you will never know the joy of living. That is the joy of living. In that state there is freedom, and only in that state is there. The surface consciousness is generally reacting to the external and gives names to the things it sees. But the name is not the thing itself. We see shape and form, but we do not know the substance, therefore we do not understand what we see. Is it not that we get vibrations of light and sound? And we create these things in our own minds. We picture forth what we see. But you see, if you see anything at all, it's the vibration of light that reflects from that thing, strikes the retina of your eye, passes through the nerve into the optic center at the back, and from there it passes through to the various portions of the brain, giving it dimension and size. So a picture is instantly created at once, and you are picturing forth what these vibrations of sound and light has produced.
Therefore you create within yourselves the picture of what you see outside. Now, all is vibration. But do you see the substance that is the foundation of all form? Do you understand that the substance that underlies all form is but a mental substance? In itself is not separated, but the form is created in the substance and of the substance. Therefore there is no separation between the form and the substance of which it came. It's like a pimple on your face. Do you think that the pimple is not on your face? You'd like it not to be on your face, I'm sure, but nevertheless, that doesn't matter. The fact that I'm trying to show you this, that form and substance are one and the same, because form cannot exist outside mind, neither can your pictures outside your mind exist. And all exists in the infinite mind. And out of everything, the form is created. Therefore, the Creator and His creation are one. I and the Father are one, and he who sees me sees the Father. Now, can you understand that? The statement that all is mind, that matter is mind materialized, has not been realized sufficiently to understand what is behind the form and shape. When this is realized as a fact, and not as an idea of a fact, we will cease to make ideas about it. So we will see the reality of it. Man has split the atom, created flying ships, has measured the distance between the planets, and is on his way to the moon. Yet, will this bring happiness and peace to the world? I think not. For only the translation of reality into our daily living can do that. So knowledge is not wisdom. Knowledge is binding. Wisdom frees knowledge and frees man. Wisdom enables us to use our knowledge for the benefit of all mankind and not for the destruction of mankind or a section of mankind. So you will see how ignorant our leaders are. We will see how ignorant the people are who engage in politics and all this sort of rubbish. They create the strife and separation. And you'll see how those mugs are caught up in it, throwing stones and dancing like all monkeys here and there. We'll see how stupid they are. And those people who are egging them on are even worse still. And if we can't see that, well, we're as dumb as they are. And I hope that we are not. And when we realize the great truth, that we've got to discern the self clearly and distinctly, what the self is, and how the self is expressing itself, how it is moving and what it is doing, we will never free ourselves from these things. We must discern from where our thoughts arise. If thought arises from things around us or from our conditioning, then our thoughts must cease to be before the unknown comes into being. The source of our being is God. Then we will know that the Father is our consciousness. And our consciousness is the means through which the Father manifests. It is the Father who doeth the work. So we become again to realize that the Creator and His creation are one. And that is the truth. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. What a tremendous and wonderful truth when it's realized. But you cannot realize it as an idea. If it's just an idea in your mind, it's of no value to you. But if you then cleanse your mind so that all these formulations of your mind are dissolved away, then the silence comes. A silence where there is no formulation whatsoever, but the expression of reality, that which is. Love and wisdom itself.
All power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth is only obtained through that silence. When this mind is silenced completely through the discerning and understanding what is made up of, and these formulations dissolve into nothingness, where they belong, that thing which is real gives expression to itself. We must not lose ourselves in philosophies, in questioning others on that which can only be realized by oneself. If I begin to philosophize to you on the wonders of reality, you would only build up an idea of reality in your mind. But if you know that you are building up an idea of reality, and know that reality is not an idea, then you will realize reality by living in the presence, in the ever-present love and wisdom. Then you will be translating reality into your daily living. God is unknown and cannot be known. The moment you think you know God, it is not God you know, but an idea of God, a projected mental image which hinders the discovery of the unknown. I wonder if you begin to realize what I'm telling you. I wonder if you begin to realize what your ideas and images are. Have you sat down quietly and see what your images and your beliefs are? Have you discerned them clearly? Not only superficial ones, but go deeper still. These ideas that are sunk deep in your nationality, in your belief, in your religious beliefs, then you will see where your intolerance comes from. If you can see then where your intolerance comes from, then you can dispense with those things. But a superficial discernment is of little value. It means deep, deep discernment, so that even the unconscious must be removed, so that there be freedom completely in a mind that is free from all conditioning. In that freedom is reality, is truth, is life, is power, is wisdom, is love. Beliefs are a process of the mind and are born of the known. If you merely say God is the unknown, so you create an idea of the unknown. But your mental creation of the unknown is not the unknown. If I talk to you about the unknown, you make a mental idea of the unknown. But my words are the means of trying to show you how to discern your own ideas you have made up about the unknown. So when you find you have only made up an idea of the unknown, it is not the unknown, then you will discard it. The man who accumulates wealth, builds temples, organizes religions, the bishops, the cardinals, the preachers, as well as the man who drops the bomb, says God is their companion. Surely their belief is but a form of a self-expansion. It is their own conceit. Those who have conditioned their minds to a particular pattern which they call their religion can never realize the ultimate reality, which is love and affection. For the unknown to be, the mind must be completely emptied. So the important thing is not what you believe or disbelieve or what your activities are, but to understand the whole process, the whole content of yourself. And that means being aware from moment to moment without any sense of accumulation. Without any sense of accumulated ideas, beliefs, or memories. But to be conscious of yourself and livingness every moment, that is the expression of reality. And in that there is power. Is there any power in a memory or an idea or an image? What is the power? Is it not your livingness? Is your livingness not from moment to moment?
You can't live in the past, you can't live in the future. Your livingness is now, and is renewed every moment. In that then, being aware every moment is giving expression to reality. Only when the mind is utterly silent, without any sense of acceptance or rejection, without resistance, condemning or blaming, without any sense of accumulation, when the self has died, then only is there that which is real. I of mine own self am nothing. It's the Spirit of the Father within me. The self is but a bundle of ideas, images, beliefs, built up in the mind. The self is an intellectual expression, an intellectual projection of the mind itself. And when we see how false it is, then it will dissolve away, and that which is real will take its place. That which is the only living thing, my livingness, is my reality. Not that I will know what it is. I even do not know what my consciousness is. I cannot even analyze or discern my consciousness. When I try to discern my consciousness, I'm discerning something else with my consciousness. But I can never discern what consciousness is. It is the unknown. It's the livingness. And that consciousness is only moment to moment. That consciousness is not in the past or the future. I'm conscious now. That is my livingness. That is the creative power. That is the only existence of God and yourself. That is the life. That is the unknown. The consciousness is the unknown. The word is not important anymore, for there is a state of creativeness which is not an idea or a word, nor the expression of the self. Then you will know what is. What is indescribable? A description of the indescribable is merely a cultivation of memory. To verbalize the indescribable is to put it into time, and that which is of time cannot be the timeless. Your consciousness is the timeless. You can never know what your consciousness is. It remains unknown. You only know that it is, not what it is. I know what an idea is, an image. I can make an image of my consciousness, but is that my consciousness? My consciousness is now alive and living. So livingness, it's the unknown. It's the eternal. It's the ever-present. And renews itself every moment. To be aware then, consciously aware, every moment is reality, is that which is. This knowing is not the result of the known, but knowing that the known is not the unknown, does not obtain through reason, for it is beyond reason, but it does not run contrary to reason. It is not obtained through space and time factor, because it is ever present in its own eternity. Therefore, every moment, all life is concentrated at any point in its omnipresence that you may choose to realize. It makes no difference where you are here or Timbuktu. You cannot go outside infinite mind. Realizing is not knowing what it is, but knowing that it is. You do not create reality. Reality created you within itself, and itself is eternally present. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Yes, the Father and I are one. Divine reason helps towards this divine realization. We reason towards the ultimate. Then reason ceases to be, because it can go no further. It knows it can never know, and at that moment is reality. It is no longer the known.
What a wonderful thing.
Yes, I am. I am life. I am the life. You can see how Jesus then had emptied his mind of all images and ideas, where the complete cleansing of mind was so essential. At that moment, he knew reality. And it was a continuation from moment to moment, being aware. And that he performed all his wonderful feats, because he was God. The Creator and His creation were one. There was no separation anywhere. Neither did He separate Himself from His brothers. He saw one complete whole expressing itself in the many. And that's why He said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Science has shown us that solid substance can be changed into liquids, and liquids into gases, and gases into a more rarefied substance we call ether, and vice versa. But the energy is still the same. There is nothing lost, there is nothing gained, but a change in the polarity of the ether atoms. Therefore, there is no energy lost in this change. There is nothing lost at all in the universe. It changes from one thing into another. That is the great, wonderful truth, and we see it long ago before science ever showed it to us. But we knew it, that it must be so. At present, we are consciously reacting to the physical, yet consciousness can react to the finer states of matter, which is mind modified. There is but one substance out of which everything is made, and this substance interpenetrates everything, and although it is invisible to us, it is the basis of every visible form. It is the unmanifest that gives rise to the manifest. In other words, it's the invisible that gives rise to the visible. And life, the unknowable, is the creativeness within that creates but still remains uncreated. If we seek to corner reality for our own welfare, we'll become antagonistic to others, and this leads to frustration. It is always the I that stands in the way. Where there is love, the I dissolves away, and the wholeness, reality, comes into being. Then all power is given into me in heaven and on earth. We find then that if the I, which is separate to the other I, is entirely antagonistic to the I, you know that other I, you know nothing at all. It is but a dream. But when you can say, "I am that I am," when the prophet saw clearly that the great I am was in every other I am, that was the word of truth. Moses saw it in the burning bush. His bush was a fire, but it was not consumed. And out of the bush, the voice spoke, "I am. Go and tell my people that this shall be my name for all time." And the name was on the lips of every individual. That was the name of God, "I am." And when Moses saw clearly that this was true, the bush was the body, and the life was in the body, was the fire, but it does not consume the body. And yet from within the body the life spoke, "I am. I am the Lord thy God. This shall be my name for all time." Proving again completely that the great I am
is the only I am. And I am that I am. Admit yourself then free from all antagonism. Do not hold anything against your neighbor. Jesus said, if your neighbor has anything against you, if your brother has anything against you, go and make it right with him. Leave your gifts before the altar, then go and make it right with him, then come back and offer your gifts. Meaning to say, how can you offer your gift to God if you in your heart has enmity against your neighbor? Because your neighbor is God. I am God. You are God. God and his manifestation, his creation are one and the same. That's why Jesus saw so clearly, I and the Father are one. There is no separation between us. It wasn't an idea or an image or a belief or a saying or a mantra which people say and they read in the Bible. But Jesus said to them clearly, you read the scriptures, you think you have eternal life, you make a mistake. Can't you see clearly now what I am showing you? When the mind is free from accumulation of its own making, then that livingness of yours and mine express itself in freedom, in love and wisdom and in power. Then there is freedom completely. We say that man should know what he dreams. And when he's trying to interpret his dreams, and if he seeks to interpret his dreams, he begins to know what his dream is. What's the use in know what your dream is? It's yourself you want to know and not your dreams. And when you know yourself, your dreams will cease to be. There'll be no longer any dreaming. You'll be alive and living when you shall be free. In St. Luke 12, Jesus says these words, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Benediction. O great eternal reality, when I spoke of thee, my mind made up a conception of thee. When I saw that my conception was my own creation, it dissolved away. When I knew that the known could not possibly be the unknown, my mind ceased to formulate. Then my mind became silent and free, and there dost thou reveal thyself in all thy glory even before the world was. And in the silence beyond time, I knew that we were one, O great, eternal reality.